Go to Galatians, please, chapter 3. So, I was looking this morning and last night and thinking about I was thinking about our Lord and his sacrifices and what they accomplished for us, and the law itself, what was its purpose, and I just wanted to show you a few things out of that. It says in, my voice is going, chapter 3, in verse 22. It's talking about the law, and it says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." That was the purpose. Joshua's going to be a schoolmaster here. He's going to be a teacher. But the law was the schoolmaster. It was the teacher. It was to keep us until Christ. The whole point of the law, all men, the scripture conclude, all men were guilty of the sin. Adam sold us out. Okay? All men are of one blood. Adam sold us, mankind, out. And he, our inheritance from him is this flesh, which we now have, which is not the flesh that God really wanted us to have. It is a flesh that corrupts. It is a flesh that will have a lifespan. It's called mortal, and it's going to die. God wanted a planet filled with people who loved him, who in paradise would live forever with him. In order to get the kids that he loves, who have accepted him, with him for eternity, he had to send a Savior to pay the price for sin so that they could be raised from the dead when the time comes, so that they can be with him forever. Otherwise, you're forever dead. You're lost. There will be many people who don't choose the Lord, and they will be forever lost. But you're not among them. As long as you and I stay faithful. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like we suffer any different fate than everybody else. We have the same fate. We're all mortal people. If the Lord doesn't return before we fall asleep, we are the ones who are going to be in trouble. You know, but we have, as the Lord said so beautifully in the manifestations, we have hope. He's going to raise us from the dead. The law was the schoolmaster for God's people, Israel. And it teaches, and it's not just for the Jews. It was for us too. So, because you and I look back, and it shows us the truth concerning what Christ would do, accomplish, what he needed to accomplish, so that you and I could have faith on him as the Messiah. So, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, 24, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. If you read the law, you know that you can't make it by your flesh. No man was able to keep it. But after that faith has come, after the Lord Jesus Christ came, we are no longer under that schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if Christ, then Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise that was given to him. And I love that verse that's there. It just stands out, especially in our day and time. There's nobody different. In Christ, there's no other designation. And we all have been told there's a million different designations. You know, they're all men, one blood. All men in Christ get exactly equal, the same. And you all participate in the promise that was given to Abraham. And that promise is your inheritance because of faith in Christ. That is yours. You're an heir of that promise. So you may die broke. You may not have enough to buy a cup of Joe down at Starbucks, but you are an heir of God. You are his child and an heir of that promise of eternity. Eternity with him. The law brought us to that place. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews is a wonderful book. I love it. And, just love it, plain and simple. But now of the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. Now, the first seven chapters of Hebrews, he's summing up here. Okay? This is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of a necessity that this man, having somewhat also to offer, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer according to the law, who serve unto the example. The word example is the word illustration. It's an illustration. And shadow, it's a shadowy type of the heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, the type, the typos, and show to thee that I showed to thee in the mount. Jesus Christ is our Savior because he died for us, right? He died for us, and he delivered us of our sins. But you know what? He lives for us right now. Right now. As the high priest, and he is in the heavenly tabernacle. The law of Moses gave you the pattern, the illustration of what this tabernacle was all about. The God showed it to Moses. He said, I want you to make this as the pattern of the things that I have showed you. So the pattern, you had the layout, all right? You had the big area where this tabernacle was, tent. You had the entrance of the one court where all the priests did all the sacrificial duties. And then you had the Holy of Holies, another tent area, and in the center of that, the Holy of Holies. The people weren't allowed to come in to minister and to do anything for God. They would bring their stuff at the outer part because no one could come in unless they were called to serve, right? They would bring that animal, let's say for their sin or whatever it was that was going on at particular, whatever particular sacrifice they were offering, they would give it to the priest, and the priest would do it on your behalf to God. You weren't even good enough to bring it to do it. I mean, this is what the law told you. All men are under sin. All, you're without God, there's no hope, and there's a separation between you and God. That's what it taught you. The priests were called because God needed somebody, right? So he called the Levitical priesthood to do the service. And they had an immense amount of things that they needed to do before they even came to work. Like they had to ceremonially wash themselves 7 times. You want to talk about, you know, taking a shower in the morning? Well, these guys had to wash themselves 7 times. They had to put on the underwear God told them to put on. He told them how to make this underwear, what it was made out of, the clothes, how to wear it. I mean, it was to show them that unless you do it my way, precisely the way I say it, you can't do this job. The first two priests to try to do this, all right, Aaron's sons, the fire, they decided to do it their own way, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed them both. And then God said to Aaron, don't you even mourn for these kids. Go get me somebody else to do the job. Nobody is worshiping God the way they feel like. He's a holy, holy, holy God. And he will have all do it the way he. And these men, the priests, were to show the pattern, to teach the people. To show the pattern, and God wouldn't have nobody get taught the wrong way. You take on the responsibility, you do the thing, you do the job. This serious business, wasn't it? The people who said to, I forget the names of these guys, they all had weird names. But anyhow, the family that came against and said, hey, Moses, why do we got to listen to you? Why do we got to listen to you for? Who made you Lord over us? The answer was God. But they decided, we're good enough. We're good enough. God says to Moses, just separate yourself from them. The earth opened up, swallowed them, and closed back up again. The whole bunch. You know, the law was given to us to show us, to keep us until Christ, right? This is the point. If you don't have, you ain't going to make it until Christ comes. If God's people get misled by the very thing and the people who are supposed to bring them to God, then God loses everything. He wasn't going to lose everything for nobody. He asked the Son to come to die for us. He was willing to do everything for man. All he asked man was to follow and do the pattern. So Jesus Christ today is at the right hand our big brother is at the right hand of the throne of God. He entered with his own blood. I'll show you how this was the pattern. We'll read it again. He entered into this thing with his own blood. And remember, I read to you some weeks ago that verse in Revelation, how that the only one who was worthy, all right, was the Lamb as it hath been slain. And that Lamb as it hath been slain took the book out of the hand of he who sits on the throne, the Almighty God. And everyone bowed down and worshiped him. Well, this is the pattern we're going to be reading of that moment, that day of atonement, when the high priest entered into that tabernacle, the Holy of All. One day a year, the people in Israel had the pattern. One day a year, the high priest would go and he would sprinkle the blood, right? And make atonement for the people. So, these people, verse 5 again, let's just read it. Who serve unto the example, the illustration, and the shadowy type of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, Almighty God, that you make all things according to the pattern, the type, showed to thee in the mount. When he was up there 40 days, God showed it to him. Now you make this thing, and it's the pattern. It is the layout of how things are in the heavens. Go to chapter 10 here for a second, verse 1. For the law having a shadow or illustration of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. This was not meant to be the way in which people became perfect or cleansed. This is simply an illustration. They got to see the illustration. And God was teaching them to bring them so that they would understand when Christ came, they would be. They would have what God had promised. See, those folks got, just like Abraham before the law was written, salvation was by having faith in what God had promised, and Abraham knew that that seed would be Christ. Abraham knew that the seed was not his son, physical son, but that that seed that God had promised him would come through his son, Isaac. Abraham looked for, and Jesus Christ said it, Abraham saw my day. He believed on that day coming. And those who carried out the law was never meant for their salvation because it couldn't do the job. It was a type, an illustration, a teaching tool. What do they call those things on the internet these days? Tutorial, right? A tutorial of what Christ was going to do and what was going to be done. Because if not, then those things would continue to be done if the law was really the thing that was going to save people. In chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves would better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. He didn't enter into the one that Moses did on the earth, which is a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Our Lord is still delivering us, still fighting for us. He's still our Savior. He's just functioning as a high priest. Do you follow that? This whole thing was a parable, an illustration of the heavenly things. See, a parable is this is like that. And that's that word parabole. Parabole here. Chapter 9, verse 9. It says, which is the figure of the time then present. Let's just start reading in verse 8. It says, for the Holy Spirit signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. The first tabernacle, remember, none of the regular folks, the believers, none of the people of Israel could enter into any part of the tabernacle. The priests, the Levitical priests, got to do it. Stringent rules, cleansing rituals, and they were chosen by God to serve him for the people. The Aaron's line were going to be the high priest's line. And one of those guys, once a year, would enter into the holiest of all to make one sacrifice on behalf of all, including himself. That was the pattern. And before I lose my train of thought, when that was being done, it showed everyone that to enter into God's presence was not available at that time. It wasn't available. You and I have access to God today through Christ Jesus, our high priest. He is there, and we have access and will have direct access when we enter into the kingdom. But right now, we have access to the Father through his name. We're told to pray in his name. We're told to do everything. It's through Christ that I have justification, sanctification, access to God. It's through him and him alone. Again, this flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood doesn't inherit this. Our inheritance is coming. And it says here in verse 9, which was a figure. This first tabernacle was a figure, a parable of the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood meat and drink and so forth. It was, now look at the things it's called. It's called an illustration. The law and the tabernacle and the sacrifices are an illustration. They're a type, a copy. You know, a typo is like you get the typewriter, the type hits the paper, and you get an impression of the little mark that's on that typewriter thing. That's back in the old days when there was such a thing called typewriters. It is the old days now, huh? Isn't it? Nobody does that anymore. I got one of those in the closet, by the way. You see how it worked. But that was the type. It would make a mark, and it would leave the impression and the outline of that letter on that from that metal thing that would hit the ribbon. It was a strike. It was a type. So you got the illustration, you got the type, and this is also called a parable. This is like that. This is what the law did. This is how the law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and of a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first therein was the candlestick. The first way in which this thing looked, the first place you went in, there was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid and round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenants. Had the tables, the Ten Commandment thing, inside the ark. It had the manna, which was in a pot that had fallen down. God told them to put some of that manna in there. All right. Aaron's rod, his walking stick, that was a dead stick that budded to show that he would be the high priest, the selected one. That was all in that ark. And it says, which tables of the covenant, verse 5, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, for which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. See, the man who was offering, the high priest, the holiest of them all, or the one selected, he wasn't really holier than anybody else. He just had to fulfill the mission God gave him, right? He had to offer the blood for himself and for the sins of the people. For the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. People could not get to God. God was showing this. It was signifying that people couldn't get to God while this law, the covenant, the first covenant, with the tabernacle and all the illustrations, the parables, the types, was yet standing, which was a figure, a parable, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the sacrifice, the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and in carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. The time of reformation, the word reformation is, it's diotrosis. It's to be straightened thoroughly. In a physical sense of making straight, a restoring to its natural condition. With the fall of man, the earth is not in its natural condition. You and I are not in our natural condition. Not what God intended. When he raises us from the dead, at the time of reformation, he'll make all things right, straight. You'll get raised, new bodies, not corrupted ones, new minds, not ones that are sick in the head. You will receive from God that which was and which he intended. Do you remember that then Adam, how long he lived? Even after he sinned? And the rest of these guys? Methuselah was the big one. You know, 1,000 years? Well, I mean, that was after the fall. I mean, that's after he's cursed. You know, it depends on science and how they artificially keep you alive, but everybody in my family ought to be dead by now if it wasn't for the intervention of the healthcare and the stuff that they are. I mean, people aren't living longer because it's natural for them. We live longer because we figured out ways in which to keep us alive a little longer. But everybody goes to sleep. And the guys who make the news are 110 at best. And there's only a couple of them. That's why they make the news. So, you know, compared to what God wanted, it's going to be restored. Things are going to be restored. That day of restitution. That's when this is all, it's been paid for. And there will be access to God. See, this showed that there was none. And it won't be until the time of restitution. So even in our, we got the gift of Holy Spirit within us. We've got the promise of eternal, but again, I have this gift, which is a token of the inheritance to come. It's just a little token. And they used to have those in the subway too, tokens, a little coin. Now they got stuff. It's a token. And it showed us this time where we're going to have access, where God is going to dwell with his people and his people with him, is when that day happens. The restitution of all things. But Christ being come, verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. He's a high priest of good things that are coming. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. This, the word building is the word creation. This tabernacle that Moses did was of this creation. The heavenly tabernacle is not of this corrupt earthly creation. It's not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once. This is what our Lord did. High priest, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God and purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions, which were under the first testament, the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You got an eternal inheritance. Christ, when he entered the throne room, it's called in Revelation, it's called the tabernacle, the heavenly tabernacle, here in Hebrews. He came as one. He came in the ministry of a high priest with his own blood as a lamb who had been slain. And he did that which was typed. The priest would sprinkle the blood of the bull and the calf on the mercy seat. Christ did his own blood on the throne, the mercy seat of God. And God, in Revelation, gave him the book that he could open. It's a pattern. It's a type. These things were taught so that people would recognize and know what was going to be done on their behalf. And that whole sacrifice thing, the innocence of the lamb, the innocence of the animal, was transferred to, in our case, the righteousness, the sinlessness of Christ was transferred to us. And our sins and death were transferred to him. That's why you and I are righteous before God. Not because we did anything to be righteous. Not because we worked any aspect of this ourselves. We have believed what he has done for us. We accept the truth. And it is set to our account, just like it was Abraham's for righteousness. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. And so that maybe you could see some of these things and how they fit from the old and from the book of Revelation and other places to see that one big, beautiful truth. Remember, the law, it's holy, just, and good. Law of Moses, holy, just, and good. The Bible doesn't speak against the law. It was people who thought that doing the law made them holy. Doing the law taught you of the Christ who was going to make you holy. That's the difference. Any questions at all?